Lord, I know you hear me when I pray, so I thank you right now that our hearts be changed and our minds be changed towards you and who you are in us in this very moment. Not anywhere else, but right now, this moment belongs to you, God. So we thank you so much for it right now. Open our hearts, open our minds, change our lives from the inside. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Really quick, and it really doesn't take long to get to where you have to get to. If you plow right. How many of y'all been in those Gospels? Yeah. I ain't hear enough of y'all. How many of y'all been? Yeah. Hey, man, don't lie to me up in the house of God tonight. Well, the Gospels, and I'll say it again, I'll say two things. One, the Gospels is where it's amazing that we as Christians know that Jesus is the Savior. Amen. How many of y'all excited about that? Amen. Jesus is the Savior. We know that he's the reason. I mean, he's the Savior of our souls, the example of who we are. We understand that. We say those things. We worship. We call his name. But it's amazing how much time we don't spend in the Gospels. If you can agree with me, you can say the same thing. We don't spend as much time as we should in those Gospels. Those red words are the words that give every other word life. Even everybody before Jesus was pointing forward towards him. Everybody after Jesus was pointing back at him. Amen. You get what I'm saying? And so it's trying to show us something. I think right now in the year 2018, we always talk about 2,000 years ago, Jesus died on the cross. I think right now, sometimes they say hindsight is the best sight. You ever heard that statement before? I think right now we have the best vision and the best sight to be able to accomplish the most for the Father because we got the whole script. Yes. Back in those times, they didn't have the whole script. Paul, God bless Paul. Paul didn't have the whole script. He didn't have everything written out in red words like we do, plain out, laid out for us to know who we are and what we're supposed to be doing and how we're supposed to be functioning. He didn't have those things. He didn't have that privilege. Here we are in the year 2018 with the whole privilege right there sitting in our laps. But now, what is our dilemma? Everything around us, everything outside of this is trying to distract us from seeing you. The distraction is for you not seeing Christ, which in turn will make you see yourself. So it's distractions. The plan isn't changed. It's the same plan that was in the Garden of Eden in the beginning. He said, "I put the tree of life right there, the tree of life." He said, you can eat of every fruit you want to eat from. He said, but this tree right here, this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, don't partake of this one, because then you'll surely die. We thought it meant giving up the ghost. We thought it meant being in the coffin or being 6 feet under. No, he was saying, at that moment that you take part in that tree, in that thing that was other than life, that thing that was other than who you are, that thing that is other than what I made you to be, that moment you'll become unfruitful. Mm. A lot of times when we see death in the Bible, it means it's not bearing fruit. And so we have to be mindful. I want to say, get in those Gospels. Look at your neighbor, tell them, get in those Gospels. I don't really have anything else to say. I don't really have anywhere else to be. Look at your other neighbor, tell them, get in those, say it like I said, get in those Gospels. Take your time. The playbook is right there. Matter of fact, your identity is right there. I know you got your little Social Security card and your birth certificate and you got your degrees and your marriage, you got your names and all the different stuff. And you say, oh, I understand all that. But your identity is right there in those Gospels. And Jesus was never telling you something afar off or something somewhere else. He was always bringing it to the inside. Everybody say to the inside. Yeah. Come on, take your hands right quick. Say to the inside. Yeah. Come on, do your hands again. Say to the inside. Yeah. No. I want you to, I have to bring it to the inside of you. Do it like this. Come on. I want you to see that vision. Do it again. To the inside. He makes a statement. He says, where's the kingdom of God? He said, the kingdom of God comes not with observation. What? He said, they say, low here, low that, go to that meeting, go to that service, go to that person over there, got it. That person, no. He said, the kingdom of God is within. Mm-hmm. So you mean to tell me, Pat, we walking around with the kingdom of God, God's way of doing things and his whole domain and everything right there on the inside of us daily as we're living, as we're breathing, even when we're sleeping right there, right with us, the kingdom of God is right there on the inside of you. What's the problem? Where's the setback? Where are we missing it? It's displacement. It's separation. It's confusion. Having you look somewhere else other than on the inside. Having you look at somebody else other than Christ in you, the hope of glory. Are y'all listening to me? So now, even with the gospel, and I want to say even with the presence, we praise, we worship. Even in the presence, I said this Sunday, when you get into the presence of a person, you learn their personality. How many of y'all remember that from Sunday? When you get into the presence of somebody, you have to spend time in the presence of a person to get their personality. You have to spend time in the presence of a person to get their language down. You have to spend time in the presence of a person to understand how to be like them. So get in those gospels. The whole Bible is the holy written word of God, but the gospels start to bring it home. Even before Jesus, they had to do a lot of rituals. I mean, we wouldn't even make it if we had to do all the stuff that they had to do before Jesus came. Man, they was killing goats and bulls. Some of y'all squeamish right now when you see a little blood on TV. They was killing goats and bulls, and they had to do it every year. And blood everywhere, and just kill 1,000 of them, and just gotta go pay this price. And I don't know what I did this year, but I gotta go pay this price. I ain't gonna never get right. I gotta keep on killing these animals. Mm-hmm. Well, Peter would have been all over us. Y'all know familiar with Peter? Peter, the animal rights organization. They say Peter. No, Peter. Yeah, ain't nobody made to pay the price in 2018. All these things that we were doing. These rituals to try to bring us back to who we are. God, in the beginning says, God, watch this, and I'm going to take the word. For some reason in 2018, we have taken the word and made the word of God an idea that's somewhere else other than right here. We've taken this idea that we're constantly trying to go and apprehend, or this thing that we're constantly trying to go accomplish, or this thing that's on these papers that we got to go read the devotional to make sure that we're living like, no. And it's always somewhere else. And so we've displaced the word from life. Now we're here training in the word, right? Amen. I said we're here training in the word, right? So we're going to be training in your life tonight. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. But for some reason, and I know what it happened. I know what it happened with the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now you begin to think things other than what God intended for you to think. All of a sudden, now they naked. Ain't nobody knew what naked was. But all of a sudden, now you done made a new word and you're living by it. All right, come on, go read your God. Go read in Genesis. He said, we was afraid. And nobody said nothing about afraid either. Afraid didn't even exist. Right. Fear wasn't even there. But now he got some new stuff. Now I'm afraid, I'm naked, I'm hiding. But none of that existed before you started thinking on your own. See, what happened to the tree of knowledge of good and evil is really that man decided he wanted to define himself. And we do it on a regular. We do it on a regular. Sometimes we don't do it by our own wants, but sometimes we're just conditioned by this system to do the same thing over and over again. We forget the definition of God, who he told us we are, who he told us we should be, and we begin to take on other definitions to try to have some kind of identity. They say God formed man from the dust of the ground. We're not going to go there in Genesis. Watch this. God formed man from the dust of the ground. Watch this. And breathed life into his nostrils. And he said he became a living soul. Everybody say a living soul. A living soul. Come on, say it again. A living soul. One more time. Say a living soul. He became an alive soul. All right, we know what our soul is. Our will, our intellect, our emotions, our feelings. He became an alive will. An alive intellect, yes, a living being, a living emotion, emotion in the flesh. This is what I'm trying to tell you. The will of God in the flesh. We cannot separate word from life. Because the moment that we separate word from life, you eliminate the power. John chapter 1. John was a peculiar fellow. He's one of the ones that walked with Jesus. They say John was the only one, John the disciple, John was the only one that really lived his life out and didn't get crucified. If you go do some research, all the other disciples got crucified. They was getting crucified upside down. It was just all kind of crucifixion. Wherever they was, they all got crucified because they was missing the point. They all got murdered because they thought he was talking about died himself. They thought he had to go get murdered. And they missed what Jesus was saying. John, they said John was the only one that lived out and died from old age. John chapter 1, and he would refer to himself. You read John, I love the Gospels, because when you read it, you see so much. John started referring to him as the one that Jesus loved the most. You know, it's like me saying, hey, look, this I'm the one Jesus love more than everybody else. He already referred to that. He always had a revelation of love. John 3:16. He's the one that said, "For God," and there he recorded, "For God so loved the world." He had a certain take on it. So now here's John chapter 1, verse 1. Watch this, and it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word." Okay, now I'm gonna read a little bit more. But the Word was with God, and the Word. So right now we're taking word from a thing, an abstract thing that's somewhere else in a book or somewhere else, to a live being, a live entity, a live speaking thing. In the beginning was the Word. You see the big W. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was. And the life was the light of men. And the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He's talking about John. The same that came for a witness to bear witness of the light. He's talking about John the Baptist. All men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which lighted every man that come into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Listen to this statement. Now, John is setting this up before he gives his take, or gives his gospel on Jesus' lifestyle and him walking with Jesus. He said he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. I mean, Jesus came to live in this earth that was created by him in the flesh, to give you an example, and they still didn't recognize who he was and what he was saying. Let that not be us with all this hindsight that we got. This is what I'm trying to tell you. Let that not be us and not recognize who Jesus is and what Jesus is saying to us. Let's take Jesus off of being a Christianity figurehead. Come on, y'all pass by the house with the Jesus statues. Now, come on, hey, man. Some of y'all done had a cross with Jesus on it. I remember my dad told me, he said, "Don't get the cross with Jesus on it. He ain't on the cross no more." But some of y'all done had a cross with, some of y'all might got one at your house right now. God bless you. Right? And it becomes the figurehead. It becomes the statue. He becomes it's a plaque, and it's just something that you put up on the wall. And you pray to it on the wall. Or you're looking for it to do something else. It becomes a Christianity figurehead. And that figurehead never allows you to be who you are. It's tricks. Everybody say tricks. Tricks. Come on, say it again. Say tricks. Tricks. Come on, say it again. It's tricks. Tricks. It's all separation. It's all trying to get you to think it's not you. It's all trying to get you to think that it's somewhere else other than where you stand. Verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Verse 12, you read, ready, read. Whoa, let's read this again. And slow down and pay attention to what you're saying. Let's read it again, ready, read. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name, as many as received him. Now, I'm not talking about the prayer you pray when you went up for altar call. You know, Romans 10, 9 and 10, right? I'm not just talking about that, but did you receive him as a live being in you as you? We're not talking religion. We're not talking tradition. The tradition of men that made the word of God of none effect. The tradition, if we look at it traditionally, it makes all the life that the word is ineffective. That's right. Got a question for you. And can we be honest? If we can be honest in the church, everybody say amen. Amen. Come on, say it a little louder so we can believe. I can believe you being honest. Amen. If we can be honest in the church, everybody say amen. Amen. Have you ever done it and you tried to put the word on something and it didn't do what it was supposed to do? I need a loud amen like we had a minute ago, because I know you're lying to me if you say it hadn't. You know you tried to smear the word on something. You tried to speak the word only. You tried to say the word, speak the word of God on it, and you tried to do it, and it was like, but it ain't. So we just kind of ignore it, or we don't tell nobody. That's good. Or maybe it wasn't supposed to happen. Maybe it wasn't supposed to be. We come up with our excuses for why, right? We tried to put the word on something separate from putting ourselves on it. Yeah. But as many as received him, to them, to who? Them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Immediately when you receive Jesus, you have been given the power to translate to be a son of God. Not a servant. Not a slave. But a son of God. Watch this. They got angry. I don't have time to go there. But if you read, you keep reading the gospel, they said they got angry with Jesus and wanted to kill him because he kept on calling himself the son of God. Watch this. Making himself equal with God. We don't speak this way right now in 2018 because daddies and sons and mamas and daughters and everything, we just throw that out like it ain't nothing. But in this time of covenant, the son and the father and the son were equals because he know that that's me that's going to go on. I'm not dying, I'm living on through my son. We don't have the right concept of what's going on. That's why covenant was so strong in those times. But now throughout time, throughout years, it's been watered down. Throughout years of looking everywhere else but the gospels, years of looking everywhere else but Jesus, years of looking everywhere else but the red words, it kind of watered down on us, and we don't even know what fatherhood and sonship really is. We don't even know what the power he's saying right here, the power to become the sons of God. Do you realize that if you receive him properly and understand what he's saying properly, not just his words, but his lifestyle and his being, you've given the power to be equal with God, to be God's face in the flesh. Even to them that believe on his name. Remember, the name is not just your Jackson or Johnson or Thompson or whatever it is, but it's the character, it's your being, it's who you are. Even them that believe on his character. Verse 13, which were born not of the blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Verse 14, you read. Ready, read. Whoa. Let's read that line again. What if the word was what? The word was made flesh, and then what it did? Dwelt, it lived, it abided among us. So now the word came off the pages, and it became a person. Come on. The word came from pages to person. It went from principle to personality. Immediately when Jesus comes, and we got to understand what's coming, because I like to make this statement. We just think that Jesus came as our Savior, but Savior from what? Savior from yourself, thinking that you're somebody else. You think that he came as some Superman. Jesus is not Superman. I know it's a comic book, right? But Superman ain't never tell nobody you can fly just like me. Come on, you save somebody. He ain't telling that. He's like, look at me. That's why we be acting like that sometimes. That's why we be wanting attention. Man, that's the enemy, man. Look at me. I'm going to be the great hope. No, you know, everybody the great hope. Well, y'all listening to me. The word was made flesh and lived among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. But I got to hit this line again. And the word was made. You say it. And the word was made flesh. Stop. Think about that for a minute. The word was made flesh. Matter of fact, that don't even make sense according to our normal English understanding. Word and flesh. No, that's a word. And this flesh over here. These are words. These are people. Right? But here now he brings it home. And the word was made flesh and lived well among us. So somewhere along the line, and we'll read over in a couple of minutes, to flip over to chapter 5, John chapter 5. And we touched this a little bit on Sunday, but I'm going to touch it again tonight. But somewhere along the line, somewhere along the journey, we allowed somebody to deceive us from us. Somewhere along the journey, we've allowed some kind of connotation and some kind of mindset and some kind of erroneous means error, information to come in and deceive us from who we truly are. Even in the beginning, when God said, let there be light, there was light. The light was manifest in his word. There was never a word that he said that was separated from an action that happened. Amen. There was never a word that was said that didn't manifest light somewhere. Amen. Even you right now. Say, even me.
Even
Come on, say it. Say, even me.
Even.
Come on, say it again. Say, even me.
Even.
Even you right now was spoken into existence. God said, let us make man. He started talking. You ain't got time to go to Genesis. But he said, let us make man in our own image and our likeness. So now I've spoken this out, what I'm about to do. And then I formed him from the dust of the ground. And I breathed in him and became a living. Is your soul alive? Is your soul living like God intended it? John chapter 5. Time out. Everybody time out the message, right? Time out, right? Everybody say time out. All right, listen, what I'm trying to tell you is before I finish the message is this. Listen, I'm not doing this for you tonight. You have to do it for yourself. Listen, this message is not going to be the thing that's going to transcend you to that thing. It's going to be the thing that points you toward transcendence. All right, I need you to understand this. And every time you come and hear the word, you have to understand that there's some seeds that are being thrown into you, and you have to cultivate them along the time, along the week. You have to continue. Jesus said, continue ye in my word. These things you have to have, and then say, I preached a message years back calling have an insatiable desire, having a desire that you don't want nothing else but the will of God and who he called you to be. I don't want to know any other identity. Cool, all that other stuff is cool, but I don't want to know anything else but Jesus Christ and him crucified and who he's called me to be as him. Are y'all, so we still on the timeout. So now I'm gonna finish reading, but I can't do it for you right now. Apostle, come and preach. He can't do it for you. Sunday I kept a message, and a couple of messages, a few of the times Jesus said it. He said, come to me. That means you gotta get up, use your feet, then come over here. You got to get up and use your ability to control your faculties and make a conscious decision to come to Jesus. And not only come to him when you get to him, but then take some stuff. Take that yoke up on you. Huh? Take that. Take the cross daily. Amen. Time in. John chapter 5. Verse 39, and I get caught up when it's time to deliver, deliver a message or a minister like this. I get caught up because now you can read this whole thing and just keep reading on and on and begin to speak to you, but I just want to get certain points to kind of trigger your interest and trigger where you should go. John chapter 5, and we'll start off at verse 30. He said, I can, and I could have read further up, but I just, you're going to have to do it when you get in them gospels, amen? I said, amen. So what color are these words right here? Red, so who's talking?
Jesus.
So Jesus says this, he said, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father that has sent me. I got to do some reading. I ain't got time to start there because that's another message. If I bear witness of myself, then my witness is not true. If I bear witness of me, watch this. How do I bear witness of myself? Watch this. If I bear witness of me doing something without being one with the Father, it ain't truth. If I bear witness of me without showing you that the Father in me and the Father in you, then I'll be lying to you. Jesus is saying that if I just show you that and I just show you these miracles, but don't show you that you too, I'll be lying to you. Verse 32, there's another that bear witness of me, and I know that the witness he witnesses of me is true. You sent unto John, and he bear witness unto the truth, but I received not testimony from man. For these things I say, that ye might be what?
Saved.
35, he was a burning and shining light, and ye were willing for a seed and rejoice in his light. You're talking about John. But I have a greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. Verse 37, and the Father himself which has sent me has borne witness of me. Ye neither have heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape. Verse 38, and ye have not his word. Y'all thought we was going to 39 and we're going to get there, but stop at 38 right quick and see what he's saying to you right quick. And ye have not his word abiding in you. For whom he has sent him, ye believe not. So slow down. So now he's talking to him. He says, but you have not his word. And then this is the John chapter 1 said the word was made what? Come on, say it aloud. The word was made what? Come on, we're in class. The word was made. So right now we took the word and took it from an inanimate object that's up on the walls or up on somewhere else or something that we said but we don't live, right? He took it from being somewhere else and brought it right here. The word was made. And he keeps talking about the life. And he says, verse 30, he says, ye have not his word abiding, living. Abiding means living. You have not his word living in you. So now he's saying that the word is there, but it's not living in you. It's not alive. You're not letting it become a person in you. Come on, amen. Everybody say amen. Amen. You're not allowing the same word that was made flesh, you're not allowing it to become flesh on the inside of you. Amen. It's doing the same thing. For whom he has sent, him ye believe not. Then verse 39, you read it. Ready, read. Say it again. Say it again. Search the scriptures. Keep reading. Read it again from the beginning. Ready, read. Search the script. Take the scriptures, right? The deep word, scriptures. Take all the errors off of it, the script. Search the script. Search it. You know, you tell them when we talk, say, stick to the script. Don't go out there and start saying what you want to say. Stick to the script. Right? You try to give somebody some advice on something, and you tell them to go do it, and then they get the ad-libbing and stuff. No, stick to the script. You got to sing a solo on Sunday. Sing the solo and don't ad-lib no more because we didn't practice that one. Stick to the script. Rabbi, say stick to the script. So now the script. Now the script, he says, search the script. The script. The whole thing. Search the whole thing. Look all from Genesis to Revelation. Search that thing. Search them. Search them. Search all through there. Look, keep searching. Keep searching. Everybody say keep searching. Look, keep searching. Search them. All right? So that's fine because you've been searching for years. But the problem is in them you think you have eternal life. For in them you think you have eternal life. Come on, come on. Everybody say eternal life. Come on, in them you think you have eternal life. Eternal life is not on the other side. Eternal life is not when you go to heaven. Eternal life is right now. Everybody say now.
Now.
Come on, everybody say now.
Now.
Say it again, say now.
Now.
Eternal life is now. Eternal life, ain't no dying. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they. Talking about them scriptures, the script, right? All the script, right? And they are they. Which testify of who? Me. Jesus said they're talking about me. Search them. But if you really search them right, at the end of the road, you're going to find me.
Amen. Amen.
If you're really looking right, you're not going to find a principle, you're going to find a person.
Right.
Amen.
Everybody say amen.
Amen.
And I knew this scripture for a long time. I mean, I just knew it from scripture, just from ministry school. And I knew it for a long time, but I would use it and we'd preach it. And we'd say the things, but I would never get past 39. I'd always stop there because, you know, testify. I mean, I really wasn't even talking about it. I don't know what I was talking about. Amen. But verse 40, and he makes a statement. Y'all reading it? Just look at it. Look at it for a second. Think about what he's saying. Say, like, pause, calm to think about this for a minute. Go back to 39, at the end of it, say, and they are they. Come on, go back to 39, and they are they. Search the scriptures, for any of you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Jesus, red words, right? The words are still red. They didn't change colors, did they? Did the words change colors? They're still red, right? It's still Jesus talking, right? It's still the example talking, right? Right, right? Amen. Everybody say amen. Right? So now he said, they testifying, they talking about me. But then verse 40 said, but you won't come to me.
Come on.
That you might have life. You see, I'm about this living word again. All right, this word being alive, the word in the flesh, right? The word abiding, the abiding word, the alive word, not just a word that you're trying to use to get what you want to get. Listen. So I believe that in years and years we learned faith backwards. We started using the word and trying to put it on stuff instead of realizing that it's us and putting ourselves on the thing. This is what I'm saying. I saw something when I read this. It hit me what happened because you can be doing things backwards and are struggling at doing them. Listen, you can be living the Christ life backwards and struggling. It's almost like trying to eat like this. table right there. You just back up to the table with your arms. A bowl of soup. Use your imagination for a quick second. Your mouth up here. Your eyes all there. But you done backed up to the table and tried to bring it all the way up here. And all the way up here, you're going to waste it all over yourself and whoever sitting next to you. And you might not have none on the spoon by the time you get to your mouth. You get a little bit, then you got to go back and try to dip again. Don't it sound like that when you're praying sometimes? Amen. Feel like that. You say, like, I know I prayed deeper than this, but look, I just got a little bit on the spoon. Because sometimes you're doing things backwards. It's not that you, oh my God, thank you, Jesus. It's not that you're not in the right place, but you're in the wrong position or you got the wrong perspective. He said, you're seeing, but you don't perceive. You don't see it. I know you see these scriptures. I know you see it when it says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But what's the problem? I know you see it when it says the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells on the inside of you. I know you've seen that, but you didn't perceive it. Because I'm trying to eat backwards. I've been trying to take the word to get to Jesus, and Jesus shows me what the word is. I've been trying to take the word to get to Jesus, and Jesus showed me what the word is. Come on, say it again. I've been trying to take the words to get to Jesus, but Jesus shows me what the word means. So I go backwards. I've been searching the scriptures, trying to get it that way, and didn't realize that I really need to come to Christ and his mindset and his understanding and then turn around and look at the scriptures and they open up for me. And you will not. So that tells me something. There's a possibility you're going to be reading the scriptures all day long and never get to Jesus. There's a possibility. No, amen. We don't want to say amen loud on that one because we shouldn't say amen loud on that one because there's a possibility that you can read the scriptures all day long and never end up coming to Jesus. Anybody ever done it before? Come on. Raise your hands in the house of the Lord. All y'all, everybody. Raise all online. Raise your hands in your living room. All that. Raise your hands and admit that I've read these scriptures over and over again and never. Look. You shouldn't finish until you get to Jesus. You can put your hands down. You should keep searching until you see him. Ain't nothing else to see. If you try to operate in a principle without the personality, it's going to be empty. It's the life. It's the life on the inside. So you will not come to me that you might have life. You won't take those scriptures and come all the way to me being who you are and you being who I am and us being one. Because this is what I've been trying to tell you the whole time. So search the scriptures. For in them, you think you have eternal life. And they will testify of me as a person. We're going from a principle or a figment of our imagination to a live person right here, yourself. You understand what I'm saying? Taking it from somewhere else and putting it right here. Kingdom of God is not over there. It's not over there. It's on the inside. But you won't come. He's talking to him. He said, you won't come all the way to me. And I talked about this Sunday, the word come. It talks about coming into light, coming into view, coming into vision. It's almost like coming to be revealed, being able to see something, right? I mean, come and stand. You won't come stand over here so you can be revealed. You won't come over here by me so that I can reveal you. And so we struggle daily, on a daily basis, with our jobs, with our degrees, with our family situations, with our ideas, and we are more conformed to the world than we know. Can I get an amen? Amen. Now, you have to realize about yourself. The first thing, when anybody's trying to help anybody, the first thing, you go to any kind of addiction thing or whatever, the first thing they say is, I am a whatever. You got to admit that you got a problem. You got to admit that you are something else other than a free person at that moment. The first step to change and really advancing something is admitting that maybe I've been thinking about it a little wrong. I don't need to hold on to your old time, good time religion. Everybody say amen. So we've been more conformed than we think. And it's been failing us every day. Can somebody say amen? Failure to me is life been going pretty good for me. No, I ain't talking about pretty good. That ain't what Jesus said. I ain't promised you pretty good. The Father ain't promised us pretty good. Ain't promised us we making it. He ain't promised that. But things going all right. No, he didn't promise that. He promised over and above. He promised, look, what's supposed to be happening is your life is supposed to be so phenomenal that people see God in you. Amen. She won't come to me. That you might have life. I'm not reading them gospels. I like Proverbs. Proverbs and Psalms holding me down. Reading them gospels. I'm going to read them scriptures I've been reading. Life right there in your lap. Flip over to chapter 6. And once again, y'all, forgive me for jumping around because I could read straight through. It'd be a nice little reading session. If you just have a reading session with the Gospels, yes, some things will change. You don't need, look. And then Jesus started talking. He would talk in parables, but then he talked plainly. Yeah. You see it, he'd be like, I had talking parables to them because they wasn't ready for what I was about to say. But now we by ourselves, so look, this is what I was talking about. John chapter 6, verse 63. We know these scriptures. I saw another scripture just now, but I can't go over there right now. I'm going to use that for next time. That's how it keeps happening. John chapter 6, verse 16. He says the same thing, even right here in chapter 6, in verse, I think it's right here in verse 38. He says, not to do my will, but the will of the Father. His message doesn't change. He said the same thing in chapter 5. I can myself do nothing. I can't do nothing to myself. He said, I didn't come to do my will, but the will of the Father. Y'all understanding me? I didn't come. What will you on? I just heard. I heard a question right now of what you're doing on a daily basis. Whose will are you on? I'm asking myself too. Whose will are you on right now? Yours? Who came up with that? That you thought was the thing to keep doing. Who came up with that? Are you conformed? Did you watch something? And you kept watching that so much that you thought that was cool for you to do? Did you see that thing and you liked it? That's how the trick happened. The tree of knowledge of good and evil looked good. It was some pretty fruit on there. Yeah, it was looking beautiful. Where the will? Where did you get that will from? I'm not doing my will. Will of the Father. Verse 63, and I have time to keep reading. Verse 48, he says, I am the bread of life. He keeps talking about putting himself in the same place with life. Right? In verse 63, he says, it is the spirit that quickeneth. Quickeneth doesn't mean make it fast. It says make it alive. Quicken, the word quicken. Everybody say quicken. When you say quicken, it means makes alive. So it's the spirit that makes alive. The flesh profit is nothing. The words that I speak unto who?
You.
Unto you, they are and they are. So now the words, here we go again. Now the word goes from being an abstract thing to a live, living person. Jesus says the words that I'm speaking to you, they are spirit and they are life. The words that I'm speaking to you are showing you who you are as a person. But if I don't come to him, then I never know me. If I don't take the time, Brother Lumar, to spend the time with what Jesus is saying, then that means I could be living my years and not know who I really am in Jesus. Everybody say, wow. They are spirit and they are life. They're your life. The words that I'm speaking to you, that's your life. The words that I'm speaking to you, that's your life. Jesus is saying, if you believe on me, the works that I do, so you do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go into my Father. I ain't got time to go read it, but you're going to do the work because I'm going to the Father. If you believe on me, the works that I do, Cam, you're going to do it. You're going to live it. So you're going to stop calling me to come do it. Where your spirit came from? Come on, right now. You don't want to answer right now. Where your spirit came from? Ain't no other spirit but the spirit of God. God is the only creator. Your spirit came from God. The same way he did Adam is the same way you got you. Amen. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Right? So that's the spirit of God on the inside of you. What did you think was going to happen? How did you think this worked? How did you think this functions? We even say it over and again. We say, I am a spirit. I have a, and I live in a. Come on, say it again. I am a, I have a, and I live in a. Come on, say it again. I am a, I have a, and I live in a. What did you think was going on? When you say that, what do you think is going on? It's the same spirit of God on the inside of you. The problem is that we've been deferred, or we've been put somewhere else, and we've deferred, or we are somewhere else other than the power that we are. Say, I am.
I am.
Come on, say, I am power.
I am.
Come on, say it again. Say, I am power.
I am.
Say it louder. Say, I am power.
I am.
Come on, say, I am life.
I am.
Come on, say, I am resurrection.
I am.
Come on, say, I am deliverance.
I am.
See, I'm not going to go get deliverance for somebody. I got to go get deliverance for myself. I'm the deliverer. He sent me here. Jesus says, listen, I'm out. I'm about to go. I know we thought it was some kind of, you know, no, Jesus was saying, listen, I'm really about to go, but you can do it. The works that I do, shall you do also in greater ways than you, because I'm about to go to the Father, but you can still do it if you believe. You believe on me like me. Are y'all listening? Now I'm not coming back to be the deliverer for y'all. You gotta deliver these people. You remember I said it Sunday, but I'm gonna say it again. Remember the rich man and Lazarus? I ain't got time to go there, but the rich man and Lazarus, they both of them died. The rich man, Lazarus the beggar, Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom. The rich man went to hell because he ain't know. He said, it's hot down here. Can I get a little water? It's hot. Can I just give me a little bit on the fingertips to just put on my tongue? It's so hot down here. So then he says, he starts thinking about himself first. Then he starts saying, well, can somebody go tell my brothers don't come down here? Because it's hot down here. He said, the Lord told him, if you don't believe the ones that's living, he don't believe the ones that's living. He don't believe the ones that's
living.
Are you living? Or are you existing? Living. See, the life and the power come together, but if you don't know that you're alive, you don't know how to function in the power. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. What's our three parts? Come on, say it. Come on. I am a.
Spirit.
Say it like that. Say, I am a spirit.
I
have a soul, and I live in a body. Come on, say it again. I am a spirit. I have a soul, and I live in a body. Come on, say it again. I am a spirit. I have a soul, and I live in a body. And he said the word that I am a spirit, right? I am a spirit. Everybody say it. Yeah, the words that I'm speaking to you, they're you. Oh, no, no. Come on. Hold on. Come on, self. Come on. We got to do it again. Come on. Say it again. Come on. I am. Come on. Go ahead.
I am spirit.
Stop. The words that I'm speaking to you are spirit.
Yeah.
Say it again. What are you?
Spirit.
No, no, no. Don't say us spirit. Come on. Say I am. Because I want you to bring it home. That's good. That was good. But I want you to bring it home. Because I got to bring it home. Everybody say bring it home.
Bring it home.
See, it'd be everywhere else but at the house.
Yeah.
You know, your body is a temple. Who living in there? Come on, everybody say amen.
Amen.
Come on, are we guilty? Are we guilty of having it everywhere else but right here? I am a what?
Spirit.
I am a spirit, right? I am spirit. I don't want to say, hey, I am spirit. Say, I am spirit.
I am spirit.
Come on, say, I am spirit.
I am spirit.
The words that I'm speaking to you, they are spirit. And they're your life. This is who you are. It's not a code of moral conduct. It is who you are. See, we have a problem. See, even when we preach about sin more than church than anything, Lord Jesus. But the reason is sin really means missing the mark. It's an archery term in Hebrew. It's just like they do the bow and arrow. It just means missing the mark. But the reason the mark is being missed so much, and the reason people can't see it, is because we're trying to shoot without the eyes of Jesus. Lord, have mercy. We're trying to function without the mind of Jesus. And so we're missing the point. Amen.
Amen.
John chapter 15. Go quick, real quick. How much was that on the clock? I don't know how much was that on the clock. Huh? All right, cool. John chapter 15. Verse I'm going to start reading while you turn it. I am the true vine, and my Father is a husband. Every branch of me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean. Now we know the word ain't just this thing that's on the wall or somewhere else, but it's life. Now you are clean through life, which I've spoken to you. You're clean through the personality that I told you you were. Your cleanliness is in who I told you you are, not in your self-righteousness. See, you're doing all these things trying to be clean, but you still end up dirty. Ain't that the truth? I done tried to be clean, and then but somebody made me want to slap them this morning. Now I done got dirty in the head. You're not clean through your own works or your own actions, unless you should boast. Scripture says you're going to talk noise about that. Look how good I am. No, you're clean through the word that I've spoken, the identity that I've spoken to you. The identity that I speak to you on the regular is your cleanliness. Live in me, verse 4, live in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. It alive in the vine. Live in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it live in the vine. No more can you except you live in me. Then he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that liveth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do. Verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast. Listen, what you find yourself real quick. If a man does not live in me, where you living at? Look at your neighbor, tell him where you living. Ask him where you living. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, where you living? If ye a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them up and cast them to the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7, you read. Ready, read. Well, we put it together again. My words do what? So my words are living in you. Come on, amen. If you live in me, and my words alive in you. In other words, if you live in me and I live in you. You, who gonna do it? Who gonna do it? He said, you gonna ask what you will. And it shall be done unto who? No. I'm going to pray about it and Jesus is going to come deliver it. No. I'm going to pray about it and the Holy Ghost is going to bring it through. No, I'm going to pray about it and God is going to shake the sky. No, he said, you're going to ask what you will. And you know why you can ask what you will? Because your will won't be your will no more. It'll be the will of the Father. Amen. Amen. You abide in me and my words abide in you. You should ask what you will. Should be done to you. Everybody say glory to God.
Glory
Come on, say it again. Say glory to God.
Glory to God.
Now, I don't know how you give glory to God, but by this other, by these scriptures right here, because verse 8 said, herein. I'm glad you say it. I'm glad you lift your hands. And I'm glad you shout it. But it needs to be more than a shout. It needs to be alive. I need to be able to see it. That's your witness. That's your witness. That's your witness. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. Amen, amen, amen. Father, we thank you that these words stay in our hearts and they don't leave us. And we rebuke the enemy right now that he won't steal these things as we leave out of here, that they'll be founded and planted in deep into our souls and our understanding, that it'll take root and it'll grow and bear much fruit. Father, we thank you so much for your living word in us. Keep showing us who we are. We thank you for it. We bless you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Us is in the house. This don't really hit home unless you keep hitting home. Y'all get me? Like this is a constant meal. This ain't one of the meals you pick up and like, that was good. Wasn't that a good meal? No, you keep eating.